come to order. Of course, my the next section of this committee's proceedings will be chaired by Vice Chair Knut Ostergaard, and we have a space for him right here. So we will begin work as soon as he settles down to his seat.
So, welcome back after the coffee break. As Karen Hulebak, our chair, has already announced, I will chair this agenda point, and I will also chair the next agenda point, the new standards and revocations and things like that. Before we start the substantial work on this item, I would certainly like to take the opportunity to thank Chair Karen Hulebak for her organizing of the work, especially including the vice chairs, and try to establish the work as a team. I think I speak on behalf of my colleagues too. We all appreciate that very much. It is very encouraging for what we are doing. It's a very important learning process to all of us, I think. So thank you, Karen. We appreciate that very much. And then back to work, so to speak. The document for this agenda point 2C, amendments to codex standards, there's only one document. It is Alinorm 09/32/8, which is a fairly technical document, and we have to go through that. What we're going to look at is the function of the commission, which always overlooks the standard and makes sure that they are up to date and they are consistent and has the structure that they should do that. And obviously, on this task for the commission, we use the I would say usual working procedures. That means asking our secretariat to do the hard work for us, and they have done that on this occasion. And all their considerations has been shown in the document. Basically, what it is about is that there are things happens in the processes which makes it necessary to make amendments, to make changes to the whole codex standards set up. It could be editorial, it could be substantial, it could be for different reasons, and the procedure is that obviously the commission is responsible for everything. They can make all the decisions they want, but certain of these elements that has to be changed are considered to be of an informative nature, and they should be carried out by the secretariat with the consent of the commission. Others might need deliberations, whether they can be done that the easier way, so to speak, or they have to be included in any kind of procedure in the commission work. And this document contains all the elements that we can think of in this relation. Because it is of a very technical nature, I would certainly like to ask Tom Halen from the Secretariat to take us through the document, which contains three parts, Roman 1, 2, and 3. And after each relevant point, we will try to draw the conclusions. And I certainly hope that we can go through this fairly extensive document in a short time, because as our chair has already highlighted on several occasions that we have a long agenda, and everybody is aware that we should certainly be sure to make to go through all the agenda points. And the requirements to us is that we are efficient, and I hope that you will all collaborate in that sense. Thank you. And then I would like to pass the word to Tom Halen, who will start to introduce the more technical parts of the document, and we shall try to draw the conclusions as appropriate through the working with us. Tom.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I'm sorry to put this not very digestive document to you this late in the day, but it is a matter of good housekeeping that we look at the overall body of our standards and try to keep everything consistent. And sometimes we make changes within committees or within commission that result in other changes that we should have made to documents and we haven't done them. And so the Secretariat looks over this. At the last session of the Commission, we presented for the first time this kind of document. And at that time also, we reviewed it at the Executive Committee. And I believe it was very helpful that the Executive Committee reviewed it, because these technical issues tend to get even more complicated to look at in the Commission. And there is a certain trust in the Commission on the Executive Committee, so that if the Executive Committee has reviewed it, that that these things do not lead to very tiny detailed discussions that really can hold up the Commission for some time. So if the Executive Committee can make recommendations, feels that this is appropriate, that would be very good and certainly be helpful for the discussion in the Commission. Let me straight go to the first item. Part one, item one, the reference to acceptance in annexes. We brought this issue up at the last session of the Commission in the relevant document. One of the reasons for it is that the Commission abolished the acceptance procedure at its 28th session, and consequential amendments were made to some standards. However, the reference to acceptance in some annexes was not considered at that time and remained. When discussing this at the last session, it was felt that the document, that the analysis that we had done was not quite complete. We had not done a complete list of all the standards that contained such a statement, containing still a reference to the acceptance procedure. We have done that in the meantime. It was supposed to go to the Committee on General Principles for some horizontal advice, but the document was rather late, and the General Principles Committee had a very full agenda as well, so it was not discussed there. But General Principles said that this could be included in this document, Document 8, now for the consideration at the Commission, in order maybe not to lose for another year until we could come to a conclusion on this item. So the two statements discovered which are of concern are first the statement on acceptance, which reads as follows: the annex to this standard contains provisions which are not intended to be applied within the meaning of the acceptance provisions of section 4.8.1b of the general principles of the Codex Alimentarius. Now, this obviously does not make sense anymore, because these provisions do not exist anymore. So as long as we have these statements, we are not really in consistence with our own procedures that we have, and something definitely needs to be done there. The second statement that we discovered when we were looking at this issue on a general basis was the statement on voluntary application, where it says that this text, or the annex in this document, is intended for voluntary application by commercial partners and not for application by governments. Now, here the issue is that the statement comes from some time back, when there was not a lot of experience with how WTO would see codex texts. And in the meantime, WTO has given us a lot of indication that actually everything that comes out of codex they see as an international standard, regardless of what we say. So even though these statements were included at the time, WTO is not very likely to make a difference on them. So in the following part of the document, you see all the standards which presently contain either the statement on acceptance or the statement on voluntary application, or sometimes both. And the document goes into long analysis also on how this came about and how the negotiation was at the time. But in order not to use up more of our time, I would come to the proposed solutions right away. The simple solution and would be to delete all statements, eliminate all statements indicated that the annex and the standard have different status. That would be deleting the statement 1, that I read out concerning the acceptance, and the second statement, the statement on voluntary application. So that would really, from the secretariat point of view, taking into account the deletion, abolishment of the acceptance procedure, and taking into account the various discussions that we've had also with WTO on how they view our text, that would be the first option that the secretariat would offer to this committee. And maybe I should pause here to see what the reply of the executive committee would be to that, because then there are other options in case this is not accepted. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tom. I think that sounds like a good idea, because we could hope that the executive committee would accept this proposal, and then we don't have to discuss this part of the document anymore. So please, comments? Silence will be taken as acceptance. Member of Asia, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, we do agree with the deletion of the reference to acceptance, because it's not valid anymore. Concerning the other statement, trading partners, no, commercial partners, well, it is linked to the content of so-called annex, or sometimes appendix. I read this document with interest, and we found that it's sensible in the later part of the recommendations that perhaps the situation may be different from commodity to commodity. So the responsible commodity committee should consider whether the content of annex is necessary or not, and if they believe it necessary, then it should be moved to the body of the text, or at least retain the content, and if they think it's not necessary anymore, then they should be deleted altogether. So, in short, we do agree with deletion of the statement concerning acceptance. We have a little bit of doubt for the deletion of other statement. And also, I found, I mean, my people did some good survey, and we have found that there is only one, however, sort of strange comment, you know, thinking from now, found in the annex of the Codex Standard for Rice, that is, traders should indicate which classification option is chosen. That's something similar to the second statement you mentioned. Thank you.
Thank you, Member of Asia. We take note that, well, you support partly the proposal one in the documents, but let us see what other delegations are saying before we try to draw any conclusion. I think a member of Latin America was the first one to raise a flag, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. Estamos de acuerdo en que se tiene que eliminar por una cuestión de coherencia todo lo relativo al procedimiento de aceptación de la norma. Creemos que también el contenido de la parte voluntaria de los estándares debe mantenerse, en particular habida cuenta de la evolución que ha tenido en el tiempo el desarrollo de las normas privadas, porque da la casualidad que en estos estándares tenemos exigencias adicionales y la verdad que carecería de sentido que en este estado de situación mundial que hay respecto del desarrollo de normas de calidad, el Códex elimine esas partes, porque creemos que también a la luz del TBT que el Códex tenga estándares adicionales de calidad de producto contribuye a que los miembros tengan mayor seguridad en casos de controversias comerciales. Por lo tanto, los textos deben, a nuestro criterio, deberían mantenerse. Ahora, en el caso de estos estándares voluntarios, consideramos que se debería quizás evaluar la conveniencia de ponerle un título, tal como ha sugerido el secretariado, de medidas opcionales o provisiones opcionales, tal como ocurre con algunas cuestiones de etiquetado, que en el caso que se establezcan, deben establecerse de una determinada manera, pero que eso no es obligatorio. Por eso nos parece adecuado incluirlas bajo el otro título. Gracias.
Thank you. Latin America, Near East, please.
شكرا سيد الرئيس ونحن كذلك بدورنا نوافق على إزالة إجراءات القبول من كل المواصفات سواء كانت بلجنة الحبوب والبقول أو غيرها ونقل الشروط غير الأساسية إلى الملاحق أو إلى مدونات الممارسات وشكرا.
Thank you, Neeris. Just to make sure I understand your intervention correctly, in conclusion, you support number one in the document. Thank you. I see nodding. Thank you. I just had to make sure. So, okay. Any more comments on this one? Sastra Pacific, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The proposal in regard to acceptance, I think, is understandable and logical, and I would not have a problem with that. Listening to some of the comments with regard to the proposals to delete the second statement in relation to whether the text is intended for voluntary application by commercial partners and not application to governments and so on, I think my recollection of the debate at the time this matter was discussed at the Commission and might have been even at the Executive Committee is that it is correct that the WTO does not make a distinction between how the status of a standard and how it is. But having said that, it is also clear that the content of the standard and the expectations set out in the standard in regard to its application are relevant in any future consideration of the standard and its application in the WTO context. So I think there is probably some meaning in having a further reflection on the advisability of deleting this across all of the existing standards, because clearly there is a context against which this provision has been included. So it's my view that we would not want to move hastily on that recommendation without greater sort of a reflection on its implications for the standard itself as it stands. Thank you.
For that intervention, any more remarks from delegates? That doesn't seem to be the case. So I think I would like to go back to Tom to see if you have suggestions for solving the disagreements, or should we try to jump to conclusions immediately?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. If I've understood correctly, there is agreement that we delete the statements concerning acceptance. We maintain the annexes, obviously, that are in the standards. Concerning the statement on voluntary application, I heard a little bit different opinions. I heard the opinion that, well, this could be looked at by the individual committees responsible for those standards, and then a decision should be taken whether this annex should be maintained or deleted. I also heard that the statement could probably be deleted, but the annex at the same time could be put under the heading optional, which would also be an immediate solution, avoiding Codex to make this statement about voluntary application, but putting it under option is still giving some indication. And did I hear a third option? Basically, the third was to be clear about the voluntary nature of these, even though, but which really combined with the option given by the member from Latin America and the Caribbean, to put this under the secretariat option, which is mentioned under 3A, basically to put it under optional. So we have the possibility to recommend to the Commission after this discussion to delete all the statements on acceptance and maintain those annexes. So that would be the first. I would just pause here to see if there's agreement on that point.
Thank you, Tom. I think I will pass the word immediately to the member of the Caribbean, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. En realidad, creo que el título adecuado sería disposiciones facultativas, pero quizás aquí, no sé, tenemos al representante de el Pacífico, que a lo mejor él tiene más en mente lo que son estas disposiciones en sí que figuran en los estándares sobre la leche y los productos lácteos, porque inclusive son estándares en los que se han revisado las normas y se ha vuelto a insistir con esta parte voluntaria. Nosotros hemos consultado y para nuestro sector lácteo, por ejemplo, es importante que permanezcan y por eso sugeríamos esto de mantener el texto debajo de disposiciones facultativas, porque de esta manera quien las aplique miraría el estándar, pero quedaría abierto que lo puedan aplicar los gobiernos, si quieren. Gracias.
Thank you for this intervention, and I think measured on the remarks that this delegate has made, this could be a conclusion that we delete the acceptance procedure and then we move the optional part to be part of the standard, and this way we maintained the idea that has been included in particular the milk committee standard. That's the way I understand it. So I think that could be a conclusion. Is that correct? UK? Member of Europe, I should say, sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and apologies for coming back. I think the member for the Southwest Pacific expressed some nervousness earlier, and I do think that a heading optional provisions is rather different to the fact that a particular text is for voluntary application by commercial partners. Optional may make it look as though it's optional for governments. So I do regret to have to say that I think we are moving into the territory in this paper of looking at each case on its merits, which means that, dare I say it, the Committee on Sugars that is adjourned, for example, the Secretariat should just look and make recommendations that can be accepted or not. But I think it's just too dangerous to say, yes, they're all optional. The meaning seems to me to be rather different. So I would recommend, Mr. Chairman, that we all agree to remove the reference to acceptance as described, but that each committee or its host government should make recommendations concerning the particular standards listed. And then I think, guess we can cover that next time the committee meets. Thank you.
Thank you, member from Europe. That would be a change of conclusion if we do that. It means we don't make any decision today, but say that we come back to the issue later on. Southwest Pacific, is that a support for the European? It's my understanding. Asia, same conclusion. Thank you. I hope we have a conclusion, and I will ask Tom to explain the technical follow-up of what we do, what kind of procedures we follow if we stick to the conclusion that I understand is consensus in the committee. So please, Tom.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. So if I've understood correctly, the executive committee would recommend that the host governments of these committees concerned by all the individual standards mentioned would look at this and make a recommendation on what should be done with these statements and how the annex should thus be named. That is what I understood from the proposal from the member from Europe. Thank you very much.
Thank
you. Thank you very much. I understood. The committee, or if the committee is not active, the host government in this case. So in the case that the committee is active, this would go on the agenda of the next session of the relevant committee to make a recommendation what to do with this. In case the committee is not active, we would ask the still existing host government of that committee to make a proposal. Alternatively, we could send out a circular letter, alternatively. That would also be a possibility. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tom. I think we should really try to make it as simple as possible. So I hope that we could draw this conclusion. But obviously, before we do it, I see the member from Latin America flagging up. So please.
Gracias, señor presidente. En cualquier caso, me parece que deberían ser los comités los que adopten una decisión al respecto. Obviamente que en el caso de los comités que están suspendidos, será la presidencia de ese comité quien deba iniciar el trabajo, pero con la consulta a todos los miembros del Códex, porque convengamos que estamos hablando justamente de una parte del estándar donde claramente hay intereses comerciales. Es justamente la parte voluntaria de un estándar que podría adoptar o no el sector privado. Entonces, justamente, con más razón, hay que consultar a todos los miembros. Gracias.
Thank you. Thank you, Latin American. I think if that point has to be taken on board and we slip a bit away from the what I would call the easier solution of just asking host governments, then probably we should try to solve the problem by sending a circular letter instead of see what happens if we do that and see if that can solve the problem and then proceed after having received comments via circular letter. So that requires new comments. Europe, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree with the member for Latin America and the Caribbean that ultimately the decision rests with members to be taken at the next commission meeting. I don't believe that this is an issue that requires a circular letter with translations into different languages and comments and however much money that costs. It may be that there is some controversy, but the work should be simple and not involve a circular letter. So the responsibility would be on active committees or host governments to make proposals to the executive committee for ultimate agreement by the next session of the commission. That way people can judge or not whether it is a correct recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you, Europe. I give the word to the Secretariat to try to propose a solution. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Actually, this problem we only have for one, for two of the items, really, because the Mill Committee is still active, so the Mill Committee can discuss it. The Fats and Oil Committee is active. It can discuss it. The Committee on Sugars is not active, so it could not discuss it. So the easiest way still would be for us to just issue a circular letter and ask the whole membership, or maybe we can try the Commission next week, what the Commission thinks next week about MVI in a more fuller assembly. But actually, it might be better that we reach the conclusion now on what we want to do. And I think it is not too much work for the Secretary to issue a circular letter asking that question on how to deal with this annex in the cases of honey and sugars, because all the other cases are being dealt with by the relevant committee. Thank you. So that's fine, that is the conclusion.
Thank you, Tom. I think I really tried to find, say, the easier way to handle this, and I listen very much to the Secretariat, and if their judgment is that the practical, the easier way to handle the situation, I would suggest that we follow the Secretariat proposal of sending a circular letter, and then that would be the recommendation to the Commission, and try to follow that procedure, if that is the easier way, and that is the recommendation we get from the Secretariat. So I hope this committee can accept this proposal, but I don't know. Asia has raised the flag, please.
Well, in whatever way, if an amendment should be made to the Codex Standard, it should be approved by the Commission. Hmm. So perhaps the next year or the year after, the Commission should look at what is proposed. And for that, there should be a a working document on which we all can comment. So for us, we don't want to really go through sugar standards, honey standards, and find what is the best way. For us, from member countries' point of view, it's easier if somebody has done the job and, you know, ask our opinion. So, I mean, this will be the case for active committees. And in order to have consistency, it's better that the host country or the Codex Secretariat should look at it and make sort of consistent proposal. Then we'll have easier way by comparing these proposals in one document and make appropriate comment. Perhaps we are asking too much, but anyway, I think that's the easiest way for us, and also for a better way to have consistency at the end.
Thank you, Member of Asia. I take your point.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Let me try a conclusion on this, on the whole issue, right? The whole issue. The conclusion would be that, one, the reference to acceptance would be deleted. No changes would be made to the relevant annexes. The relevant annexes would remain in the standards. Second, for the statements on voluntary application, we ask, and that would be a matter of matters referred to the relevant committees, We ask the relevant committees to look into this, on how to deal with this question, how to deal with this statement. And we should say that it was preferable that the statement would not appear, but that there would be a different way of treating this these annexes, or whether these annexes should be deleted, as was said by Asia, whatever should happen with these annexes. If they're important, they need to be maintained, they need to be put on a proper footing within the Codex standard. For those committees that are adjourned, the Codex Secretariat, together with the chairperson of the, there are only two, right, would look at developing a solution, and all this would be included in one document, which would be sent out to everybody for comments. So we would not go into this step of having a circular letter before, but we would collect the information that would be coming from all the committees that deal with it. We would include a possible solution for honey and sugars, and then everybody would have also the possibility to comment on those, and we would discuss it at the commission and agree on it. Would that be a possible way forward? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I see nodding around, so I think we should say that is the conclusion for this agenda point. And certainly, if we want to maintain our schedule, we should certainly move on to other items. So I will close this one, and I think we have reached a good conclusion on this point. And then we immediately turn over to point two in the document, and I again give the word to Tom to explain about the carryover principle problems.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. The second item references to the carryover principle, volume one. It came up when we were screening the different codex standards, and we noticed that a number of codex standards were making reference to the carryover principle in section 5.2 of the volume one of the Codex Alimentarius. Now, Volume 1 of the Codex Alimentarius has become a rare publication, which you might find a collector's item by now, because it is not republished, and it is not, for all of us maybe who are not as long in working with Codex, it might not be that easily available. Maybe one day we're going to put those old volumes up on the internet for classical versions of Codex. But for the moment we have other things to do. So the reference is made to this section, and obviously this section, this reference is a little bit obsolete. At the same time, we have now the GSFA, the General Standard for Food Additives, and within that General Standard, we also have a section on the carryover principle in the preamble. So within this preamble, we also make reference to the old carryover principle. Looking at both of these, and I have reproduced them in the annex to the document 8, which you have, you can see on page 15 in the English version of the document the principle relating to carryover of food additives into foods, which is the text coming from volume 1, which thus I have made widely available now. And on page 16 you find what is presently contained in the General Standard for Food Additives. Now, there are two options for this. First, we agree that the text that is now in the General Standard for Food Additives is the modern text, is the text to be referred to concerning carryover, and no information is lost if we just withdraw the text that is in the volume one, and we change all references made in the different standards that are named in the paragraph 2.2, change all those references to reference to the GSFA, and we delete the footnote in the GSFA making reference also to the volume one. That is one option. The second option, if you're not so clear whether we're not losing anything by that, would be to ask the Committee on Food Additives to look at this, to clarify what would be the relationship between the two texts and to suggest a solution to us. That would be the second option. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tom, for explaining a fairly complicated issue. I hope that everybody in this committee is clear of the choice we have to make. It appears quite clear from the document in point 2.4, and certainly I would suggest that if there are no objections, that we choose the first solution, which means that we simply accept the new GSFA standard and make reference to this in all the relevant committees. So if there is no objection to that proposal, I think that could be the conclusion of the committee. I see no flags, so I guess I take that for acceptance of the proposal. So I was a bit too fast, apparently. member of North America.
Or perhaps I was too slow. I guess our recommendation would have been that we do ask the committee to look at the issue on our behalf. we do think it's an important issue, and it's an opportunity to clarify. We can have the committee make sure that there is no chance of ambiguity, and they can make it very clear in their recommendations back to us as to where this should occur in the documents.
Thank you. Member of North America, I give the word to Asia, please.
Thank you. Well, when we look at two texts, they are almost same, except, the newer text covers sort of older text. However, there are some specificities in the old document, such as the food additive carried over is present at the level which is non-functional, i.e. at the level significantly less than the normally required. The newer document only says below maximum level specified. So we are not 100% certain if the new one can completely replace the old one. So I would think under 2.4 recommendations on page 7, we would go for half of the first one and the second one as well. That is, perhaps it's sensible to replace already now the reference from old one to new one, but we would request the CCFA to clarify the relationship. But now, we would like to go further ahead in that we would ask CCFA to really have only one text instead of having two. So whatever found only in the old text should be incorporated into the new one, so that with only one new text, we can understand everything related to carry over in the Codex framework. Thank you.
Thank you, Asia. I certainly take it for granted that this idea of possible work in the CCFA would also be part of the Canadian North American thinking if we return the issue to CCFA for clarification. I guess we agree that the end purpose is to have one principle, so we don't have this confusion. That's what it's all about, to relieve this. And, are there any further comments from delegations? It doesn't seem to be the case.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Well, the member from Asia and I are probably similar thinkers, because I actually had intended to propose that as the third solution, the one that mixes one or two, to already go, because I don't like it when we have in Codex text references to things that are difficult to access. So I wanted to remedy that immediately. Then I thought, well, we might wait one more year to do that in case the CCFA comes up with anything else. On the other hand, this is probably unlikely because we have the general standard for food additives, and that's unlikely that we're going to have anything in addition to that. And we make reference to the carryover principle there. So this should be concentrated at some point. So I would then suggest that we could amend the references now in the standards given in the document. At the same time, delete the footnote that is in the GSFA to this text and request the CCFA to examine the two texts, and if they find that there is any value in adding to what is presently in the GSFA, that they propose this, to integrate what is presently in the Volume 1, to integrate that also in the GSFA, and to report that to the next session of the Commission. That would be basically the proposal that came from the member from Asia. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tom. That seems to comprise the intervention that has been on this agenda point, so I suggest I dare once again try to draw a conclusion. I hope I'm not too fast with one. But I understand from what I see in the room that it appears to be acceptable what Thomas just explained, and then we by all means get the clarification of these two slightly different texts, which is what we need at the end of the day. So I see no objection, so this will be the conclusion for this point. And we immediately move on to the next point three in the document, which is for information. Tom, you need to say something about that, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Yeah, that's an easy one. When we looked at the standards last year, we also found certain references to Volume 2, also texts very difficult to find these days, and we referred this to the Committee on Pesticide Residues, how to deal with that, and as the texts were still valid because they have not been replaced with anything else. The Codex Committee on Pesticide Residues agreed to request the Codex Secretariat to prepare a paper containing an analysis of these discrepancies in order to take a more informed decision on this matter as its next session. So we hope to hear from the CCPR after its next session on this item. So this is probably going to be included in the next document 8 for the 33rd session of the Commission.
Yes, there is no comments for this information point, and that doesn't seem to be the case when I look out in the room. So we immediately continue to point 4, Committee on Food Labeling, where there is an issue related to the general standard for labeling of prepackaged foods. And again, I would refer to Tom for explanation of what we want to achieve on this one. Tom, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. This was an issue already mentioned earlier by my colleague, Selma Doran, in a different context. It stems from the fact that the 31st session of the Commission adopted a revision of the class names and international numbering system for food additives, including a revised list of technological functions in Section 2, and that thus the list included in that document is now different from the list of technological functions listed in the general standard for the labeling of prepackaged foods. And the Committee on Food Labeling considered the need for alignment of the two texts, and it considered the proposal for amending the list, as mentioned also here in the document 8, and also considered whether the alignment was editorial or substantive in nature. So the committee was hesitant at that time to take a final decision on that. But in order not to lose the possibility to adopt an alignment right now, this year, the committee agreed that this could be included in the document 8 for discussion here, so that those members who would feel that this amendment is rather of a substantive nature could examine it for a while and then say this at the commission, in which case the most likely solution would be that it would be referred back to the Committee on Food Labeling for further discussion. If, on the other hand, the commission would agree that this is editorial alignment of one codex text with another codex text, that in this case it could go forward right away. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tom, for a very careful explanation of this problem. And I think we face the same situation as we did before, that there are at least two ways to solve the problem. One is easier than the other one. And it certainly depends on the judgment, the value evaluation by members of this committee, whether we should consider it to be a substantial issue that should be put into a procedure, or we could accept that it's fine what the Secretariat has done and simply recommend that these changes are being made as editorial. But please, Member of Europe.
Thank you, Chairman. Unfortunately, I'm going to propose the least easy option. And this is on behalf of consumers, because we have new terms that will be appearing in labelling, for example, sequestrant. And I think that very much is a labelling issue as to whether it is clear, whether it is transparent. So I don't know what the views of others around the table will say, but I believe that's a substantive issue. Thank you.
From Europe, are there other comments for this one, or do I take silence to mean that other delegations would prefer the easier way? There seems to be no remarks on we'll have a little consultation business here to run, please, just a second. Please, we go back to the agenda. I refer the word to Tom to give a little further explanation of the situation that we're facing. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's always good to have a brain extension. If I understood the member from York correctly, the intent of his intervention is that this should be discussed in more detail in the CCFL, and that he is not saying purely on procedural matters this should go back to the... Because for procedural matters, we have the possibility, even if an item is substantive of nature, the Commission may adopt this at step 8 if it is consequential. So what we have here in front of us is a consequential amendment to the amendment of something else within Codex. So it is because we amended the list in one text, it would be a consequential amendment to amend it in the general standard for food labeling. So we have the possibility to do it, right? Procedurally, we have the possibility to do it and to put this out front. If, on the other hand, we think that this requires a more substantive, let's say, discussion, which we cannot hold here or which we cannot hold in the Commission, but which we can only hold in the Committee on Food Labeling, then the option would be to refer it back to the Committee on Food Labeling with more or less what I've just said. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tom. I see that requires another intervention by your Member of Europe, please.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. Perhaps I wasn't clear. A consequential amendment means change that is change that appears on labels of food. And it's not absolutely necessary just to have consistency. In a labelling context, it is important that what is on the label is understood by the consumer. And therefore, the decisions that need to be taken on behalf of the consumer would properly be taken in the Committee on Food Labelling. And I've already mentioned one term that is just not clear at all. So it is not necessary, to my mind, just to say it's a consequential change. A consequential change has implications for the consumer. So to repeat, I believe that this is a substantive issue that unfortunately should be looked at by the Committee on Labelling. Thank you.
Thank you, Europe. I turn, give the word to Asia, please.
Thank you, Chairman. We agree with the comment made by the member from Europe. We thought perhaps the word sequestrant is not so easily understood only because we are not English speakers. But now that it is said by the English-speaking country, I think it's a really common thing. And we'd like to know that these terms are used by CCFA for the correct description of food additives. And it's very technical. However, the same words may not be understood easily by layperson or consumers. And there are some others which have been existing, but not so easy to understand, such as, for instance, what's the difference between emulsifier and emulsifying salt by layperson? So if the executive committee decides to request CCFL to look at these terms, then there should be some emphasis on easiness for lay people to understand is one of very important factors. Thank you.
Thank you, Asia. But if we do, as Asia's suggesting, then we may increase the task of what we ask the food labeling to look at. I don't know if that would be the proper thing to do in this relation. It's adding to the requirements to the food labeling committee. I don't know if that would be such a good idea. Maybe the chair of the labeling committee or the country representing the chair of the labeling committee would have a comment on that. Canada.
Thank you. In reading the list, as has been noted by some of the others that have spoken, in reviewing the list, there are probably several terms on this list that would not be familiar to consumers. If it is considered a very important issue, then we would have to say the labeling committee would look at the complete list. That being said, our primary interest at this point is the consistency of text. And perhaps we could look at that consistency issue and then perhaps have the labeling committee look at whether or not these terms should be looked at in general.
Thank you, Canada. The word to Tom to deliberate further on this issue. Tom, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. If I have understood the interventions correctly, then there is, in fact, no objection to a line in principle, if I have understood it correctly. There is concern about the understandability of some of the terms used within the list. And if this is so, then we might still be able to recommend to the Commission to align the lists, because then the two codex texts would be again in line, which is important because this is a usage of food additives internationally, and those those substances are used and the information would be given, even though it may not be understandable to anyone, even though bulking agent, well, I have a fairly good idea what that may be. I also have some idea what the sequestrant may be because I was tortured with Latin in school. But if there's no objection in principle to aligning, I would still align. If there's an objection in principle because, I don't know, because there are terms there and there would be more change to the standard that would be acceptable, then I think it should go back. But if there's no objection in principle except for the understandability, then I would still think that this committee could recommend to the Commission to align the two texts. Thank you very much.
Tom, that calls more flags up, I see.
That's good.
Latin America, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. En realidad estamos casi como en una posición intermedia entre lo que plantea el miembro por Europa y el secretariado. ¿Sería posible en esta alineación mantener sinónimos para determinados términos que permitan de alguna manera que si cierto término que está en la lista no es comprensible con el que está en el comité de etiquetado, pueda ser utilizado para las etiquetas, que la alineación permita la sinonimia.
You're a member from Latin America, and I see, please.
Shukran, Sayyid al-Rais. أظن أن النقاش ساقنا إلى متاهات ليست من دورنا، فالتعديل في مواصفة الأغذية وفي تحديد الوظائف التكنولوجية للمضافات الغذائية حتما يتبعه تعديل في التأشير في توسيم الأغذية، لذلك لا أرى إشكالا في الاقتراح في اقتراح تعديل على تأشير أو توسيم الأغذية. وفهم المستهلك لهذه العبارات في كل الحالات لأنها عبارات تكنولوجية ولا يمكن فهمها من كافة المستهلكين وليس على المواصفات أن تكون في متناول فهم المستهلك بل على المنظمات المعتنية بالمستهلكين تفسير هذه المعطيات والترويج لها. لذلك أظن أن أي تعديل في المضافات الغذائية أو في تسميتها يقابله تعديل في التوسيم إجباريا، وكما اقترحته الأمانة أظن أن الاقتراح وجيه. شكرا.
Thank you, Near East, for these comments. I see no more flags. Discussion leads in the direction of referring the question to the food labeling committee, because there seems to be a number of arguments in favor of having the labeling committee looking into the understanding of these concepts. And I think it is one of the major tasks of the coding system is to make sure that consumers are not misled, and certainly there could be a lot of problems for the ordinary consumer to understand all these words. And I think if we send it back, if we recommend to the Commission that it is being sent back to the labeling committee with the request to look into the question being raised here, but also look into the issue of the consumer's understanding of the concepts or the names being used, not the concept, but names being used in the list. Would that be a conclusion that the committee could accept? North America, please. Certain interest in the issue.
Given that one of our priorities is the consistency of text, we should not lose sight of that, perhaps, and recommend that that aspect of it does move forward, but also refer the question around consumer understandability to the labeling committee. As it's been noted around the table here, it's not just the new terms that resulting in questions at this time. So we could look at it on a more general basis.
North America, that was also the intention of my simple conclusion. That's the way it would be worded. That's the way we talked about it at the top table. So this is the conclusion for this issue. Thank you very much to everybody. We turn to the next one. Tom, will you continue your work?
Thank you very much. I will try to do my very best to finish this document. No, it will not be possible. We have, if we go from the section underneath the table, section where it says section 4.3.1, down to where it says section 5, we have items which were discussed in the Committee on Food Labeling, which concern editorial amendments that the committee agreed to. And I would propose that we look at those as a group, and that I would also propose that this is the last thing we do for today, because it's already almost 5:30. Thank you very much. I would not go into them individually, because they are mainly changes to language, to words. There's one which is a little bit, is going to concern us a little bit later as well, which is the term competent authority, which is going to interest us a little bit further on a more horizontal item under a different agenda item. But at this committee, there's a specific proposal to replace the word national authority having jurisdiction with the term competent authority, which is a term that is used in the guidelines on organic produce. And we could deal with the general question then at a later, the general question to include this in the procedural manual at a later stage. So if we take the section from where it says 3.1 up to down to section 5 for any comments at the moment. Thank you very much.
Or we come back to tomorrow.
Thank you, Tom. Any comments for these Southwest Pacific, please?
Chairman, just a quick comment on the issue of competent authority. The main point we would like to make is that the term appears in a number of codex texts. Meat hygiene, for example, has its own definition, and the reference is already there to some of the other texts. And it seems to us that there is also a number of texts in that have been developed as CC fix, where competent authority is referred to, I believe, but there isn't a clear definition. The point I'd like to make here is that different texts have different definitions as it stands, and we would suggest that there may be some merit in also asking CCFX to explain and perhaps develop a definition that is relevant to its own in text, given that seems to be the approach taken by a number of committees to look at the terminology within the context of their own text and so on. So that would be a suggestion that we would make. Thank you.
Southwest Pacific, any other comments? Tom, have you got any reflections? Can I continue, please? We just take note that this issue of competent authority comes up again as an individual point under as point 7 in this document. So we would hope that it would be acceptable to leave this discussion till we come this. So I hope that if you can agree to the other recommendations, that is, in the points that Tom was declaring, we can finish these and say we accept these amendments which has been proposed here. And I see no objections to that. So I think this time I can draw a fast conclusion and hope that it will carry through. And then I think it is time to finish for today, as Tom said, because we have the plan has been fulfilled time-wise, not work-wise, unfortunately. So we had hoped to get a little bit further, so we will catch up again tomorrow. And we really need to push each other to catch up on the timescale that we had hoped to continue. So I would like to thank everybody for constructive and good cooperation for today, and we'll meet later and see you tomorrow. I think there is a practical remark from Tom that he would like to give.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. We have don't forget we have a reception at 6 o'clock in the 8th floor Indonesia room, and we start tomorrow morning at 9:30. Thank you very much.